Good afternoon and welcome to Community Focus. This is Friday, the last Friday before Christmas. It is December the 19th. Before I forget, happy birthday shout out to my niece Jessica, who's 20-something today. I'm so glad you are tuning into our program. This is Community Focus, and let's start with some weather today. Our low today was 18, but as I got this morning, I saw it feels like 1 or 2 or something like that. Our high today will be 31. Tomorrow in Muskegon, we have a 35% chance of snow or rain mix, low of 23, high of 38. Sunday, low of 17, high of 27. On Monday, a 55% chance of snow, low of 26, high of 37. Things begin to warm up on Tuesday, low of 31, high of 40. On Wednesday, low of 30, high of 41. And then next Thursday, a low of 41, high of 47. So as of now, no snow in sight for Christmas, and you may have a chance to get out and slush around just a little bit a couple of days before Christmas. All right, that is our weather. As you've gotten accustomed to me doing on Fridays, I share my 5 list with you, not necessarily a top 5 or most important 5, but just my 5 list. You know, as an adult, you know, I enjoy Christmas growing up, but people feel different about Christmas based on their life experiences. And so I was looking at an article today, things to make it feel like Christmas. Maybe you're not in the mood. Maybe you're tired with all the shopping, the commercialization, whatever reason. So how about some things to get you in the mood for Christmas? And this is actually, I stole this from a website, but the number one thing is, get a Christmas tree. I know a couple of years in there, I just wasn't feeling Christmas, didn't get a tree, but get a tree. Number two, play Christmas music, and you can find Christmas music and whatever genre music you enjoy. You can get jazz, you can get gospel, classical, Motown sound, rock. So get some Christmas music. Number three, they say, is candles. Not a big candle person, but maybe that'll do it for you. I like number four, though. Try some new traditions. Maybe come up with something new for you and your family to do to celebrate Christmas. Hey, Janine, how are you? Number five, how about Christmas concerts, plays, and movies? The last week or so, my wife and I have been on Tubi. Don't judge me. And we have been watching Christmas movies, some good, some bad. They're starting to blend in together. But we have been watching Christmas movies. Maybe you go back to some of the classics. Then I'll give you two bonuses today. One, holiday pictures, maybe past or take some new pictures. So holiday pictures. And number seven, again, one of my favorites, get involved in my side hustle, as many of you know. Sometimes I deal with people who just turn a funk. They had dealing with things in their life. We're always better when we share our life with other people. So get out. There's many organizations. One we're going to be talking to today. Maybe they have Christmas parties. They're doing things for families, getting gifts for kids. Get involved with somebody else. It's always good when we share our life with other people. All right. That's my 5 list. All right. As the screen widens out today, I'm excited to welcome to the program one of my favorite people with one of my favorite organizations in Muskegon Heights. Melissa, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
For folks that may not know you, would you tell people about Reed Muskegon and tell them about yourself a little bit?
Sure. So again, my name is Melissa Moore. I have been the executive director of Reed Muskegon since 2013. And okay, I will always say it is the best job I have ever had. So Reed Muskegon has been around since 2005. This is our 20-year anniversary. Mm-hmm. When we started, our focus was to provide free tutoring for low literacy adults, help them build mm-hmm. the skills they need to get good jobs mm-hmm. and raise their kids and all that stuff. Over the years, as we have evolved as an organization, we realized, you know, we can't keep waiting for people to become adults before mm-hmm. we give them the help they need. Yes. So today, we provide programs for 0 to 5-year-olds with their aunts, uncles, parents, foster parents, whoever it is that can mm-hmm. get them in with them for those programs. We provide free tutoring for K-12 students. We're just getting started doing some of that in the school as yes. well. And then we provide one-on-one tutoring for adults. We have English language classes for mm-hmm. adults. We provide programming in the jail, mm-hmm. which is a great time for yes. men and women who yes. are find themselves in our county jail to build some skills mm-hmm. and connect with us so they yeah. Can continue that when they get out. And then we also provide a lot of leadership in the county. So we bring together people who are in positions to make a difference, to bring resources to the table, whether it's volunteers, you know, all kinds of different things to help remove some of the barriers that keep people from getting the education they deserve. Okay.
And we've talked a number of times. So there's a few things I want to cover today.
Sure.
First, if you said, tell people where you're located.
Yep. So right now, we are at 26 East Broadway in downtown Muskegon Heights. We love being there, right mm-hmm. across from the old Strand Theater building.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep. We'll talk about the other announcement later.
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about the whole area of literacy. And
sure.
you talked about different things you're doing. One of the last things you mentioned was getting into the jails mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. jails. I don't say jails and prisons, yep. the jails and working with adults.
Yeah.
What is that relatively new? Have you been doing it for a while?
So we've been working with adults since we were founded. We have been in the jail, I would say, since about 2015.
Okay.
We started that work as part of the exit program, which is a reentry program, workforce development program, and then began offering programming also in the jail for people who weren't sentenced into exit. Mm-hmm. Started with men and then expanded to women.
Okay.
But right now in the United States, over half of adults, so 54%, read below a sixth grade level.
54%.
In Muskegon County, 20% of adults read below a fourth grade level. So mm-hmm. imagine trying to do the things you and I take for granted every day, reading that low. But there's another, I think it's about 47% that read at like a fifth to eighth grade level.
What's the grade level to be considered literate?
High school. Yeah, really like to get a lot of the good paying jobs these days. Mm-hmm. I was just talking to one of my board members this morning, and he was talking about a manufacturing job. But every day they have a new contract from somebody where you have to be able to sit mm-hmm. And put something together and read the instructions and mm-hmm. follow them. So that's literacy, right? Yeah. And if you can't read and not just read the words, but understand what they mean, you know, it's hard to do a lot of the jobs today that that pay a good wage. So we work really hard to reach those individuals that could use our help mm-hmm. To improve their life, to get a better job. I mean, imagine managing your health, right? Yeah. If you read below an eighth grade level, even, you know, if you've got diabetes or heart disease or a child who needs to manage medication, imagine trying to manage finances. A lot of the learners who come to us don't use banks because it's too much information.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. It's hard to participate in our community, to vote and understand what you're voting for. Yeah. All of those things, again, that we take for granted, over half of the adults in our country struggle to do that.
What does it take? I mean, you know, people may be in special programs, what does it mm-hmm. take for an adult to come to the realization that I need some help?
Yeah. So that is one of the hardest things, I think. Yeah. You know, they know mm-hmm. inside that they struggle, right? They know they need help, but being an adult who has spoken English their whole life. So we do provide programs for those who are not native English speakers.
Sure.
And when English isn't your first language, there's a lot of pride in learning English and moving your life forward. But when English is the first language you spoke and you've been through our school system and you still find yourself an mm-hmm. adult who is at one of those lower levels, it's embarrassing, you know, and it takes a lot to ask for help and to let other people in on what is usually a secret, or you think it is. And so it takes somebody like a pastor at a church or mm-hmm. a healthcare provider or a relative oftentimes to connect them to us. Mm-hmm. And then our job is to take away that shame and turn it into pride, right? And saying mm-hmm. there is so much to feel proud about in asking mm-hmm. for help and changing your life and taking control over it and using the power that reading brings to participate in your community, to speak out on things you care about. So a big piece of what we do is that relationship building to start with. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things we work hard on in the jail, is building that relationship of trust and helping people believe that their lives can be different, right? If mm-hmm. you're in your 40s or 50s, we have learners as old as, you know, 82. If you've lived your whole life one way, that mind shift mm-hmm. can be really tough. And so mm-hmm. that takes time too. So we just have to have patience. Mm-hmm. We have to have understanding. We have to meet people where they're at and listen to what their goals are, what's mm-hmm. going to motivate them mm-hmm. to make a yeah. change.
I want to ask this, not even in a political way, mm-hmm. but just the reality. You do a lot of English second mm-hmm. language for people mm-hmm. who English is their first yep. language. With all the changes, yeah. immigration, those kind of things, have you guys been affected by that in terms of people coming in wanting sure. assistance?
Sure, yeah. Of course. Yeah, we still have a very robust, very full English language mm-hmm. classes that we offer around the county. But the reality is that in the last 6 to 9 months, we have seen enrollment in those classes go down. Mm-hmm. And we do our best to create a positive, safe community for those who come. But we are definitely seeing lower numbers. Some people may be transitioning from coming to a public class to doing one-on-one tutoring. Mm-hmm. But we are still here. And we are a big part, again, of helping that community to build the skills that sure. they need to get good jobs, to participate sure. in our community, mm-hmm. To further their own education.
Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about, you don't do it alone. You're mm-hmm. outstanding director, but talk about the staff you have working with you there.
We are so lucky. I always say, we could be, it doesn't matter what our building looks like, mm-hmm. right? It doesn't mm-hmm. matter the space we're in. It's the people who are there yes. that make Reed Muskegon who it is. So we have an amazing staff that come from all different backgrounds. They're not all education backgrounds, social services, all kinds of things. We have someone on our staff who is a native Spanish speaker who's there for mm. people when they come in that feel more comfortable mm-hmm. communicating in Spanish. But Andre Pierce, who's one of our program assistants, is mm-hmm. a native of Muskegon Heights. Sure. Mm-hmm. Shay Ross, who's our program director, has been around for quite a while. She actually commutes into here from Grand Rapids. So I think that we should feel really proud about that yes, somebody is, yes. Making their yes. way from Grand Rapids mm-hmm. to Muskegon Heights to work. Yes. We also have an amazing AmeriCorps Vista volunteer who comes okay. to us from United Way, Lanisha Spencer, who is mm-hmm. also a native of this area. And she has done a great job, helping us mm-hmm. find the places in the community where we should be to yeah. help build relationships. So mm-hmm. I love our staff, and I get to sit here and talk about what we do, but it's really them who drives the organization. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll tell you a story. When I was in college, a friend of mine was in speech pathology, and she had to volunteer part of her curriculum, had to volunteer time at mm-hmm. a program like yours. She had a guy, and she said, she had to meet her in a certain place.
Yeah.
And she gave him the street names of where they were meeting. And then we were talking, so it didn't dawn on me, he might not be the street. Mm-hmm. I said that to say, we talked earlier on Broadway and Muskegon Heights, mm-hmm. but you've made a commitment to being in the community.
Yes.
And so for folks that may not know, you're located on Broadway now, but that's going to change in the future, correct?
It is. And remind me after this, because I'll have to tell you a story about street signs. But uh-huh. yeah, so about 2 years ago now, I guess, we mm-hmm. Purchased the building at 2709 mm-hmm. Peck Street, the old Potter's Lamps building, yes, which yes. then belonged to the church, mm-hmm. And spent quite a while talking to our learners, mm-hmm. our tutors, the community, architects, getting input on what a literacy hub is, what we're calling it,
yes.
would look like. So we were, we outgrew our space on Broadway, mm-hmm. wanted to stay in the Heights, spent a long time looking for a space that would offer us all those same things. We love yes. having big storefront windows where people yes. can look in uh-huh. and say, hey, what's going on in there, and walk yeah. in the door. We love being right in downtown Muskegon Heights. Mm-hmm. It is easy to find us. Yes. It's easy to get here off the highway. Mm-hmm. So we started design on the building over a year ago. And then also about a year ago, we started raising funds to fully renovate that building. Yeah. So when it is complete, which we are hoping right now with fingers crossed, depending on this weather, will be May 1st.
Yeah.
And then we'll probably take a little bit of time to get settled in before we open up to the public. But in that building, there will be one of the things we're most excited about is a purpose-built children's room.
Yeah.
So that when adults come in for programming, whether it's tutoring or classes, we will have free care for their children there, because that's one of the biggest barriers to participation. Yeah. And not only will those children be in care, but these are some of the most vulnerable children if they're in a home with a lower literacy adult. So they will also be getting extra early literacy skill building while they're with us. We will have spaces for our tutors and learners to meet. They have to meet in public. So sometimes it's hard to find a quiet space at a library, or sometimes they're going to a McDonald's or something to meet. So we will have space where they'll have access to Chromebooks. They'll have access to our curriculum books. They'll have access to us as program staff when they need our help. And then in the center, we are super excited to have a classroom training room where, again, there'll be access to technology. We'll have Chromebooks and all of the tech that that they'll need to learn. Our hope is that once that's open, we'll be able to offer free drop-in K-12 tutoring for students. I mean, we're in walking distance of the high school and middle school, and offer also a place where community can gather, where we can do some events, where we can open up the building to some of our neighbors and partners to bring other people into Muskegon Heights who maybe never take the time to take that left off of Peck Street, you know, or onto Peck Street off of Sherman and see what's down here and see all of the potential. So we're super excited about that.
You know, it's, you know, you get a new building, you're excited, you always want to like, let's get to it. But how was it important for you to take the time to, I know you had community meetings, you had surveys. How important was that process to you all?
Very important, and it will continue to be important. We wanted to make sure that we built a space that honored our learners, where they could come in and see beauty around them, but it also meets their needs. And so we listened a lot, both to our learners and our tutors, our instructors. We also wanted to honor the history of that building and of Muskegon Heights. So one of the things I am most excited about, which I cannot wait to share, is the mural that is going to span, it'll be 5 feet tall and span the whole building. So I think it's about 48 feet long. We are working with an organization called Lions and Rabbits in Grand Rapids that specializes in creating place-based art. So working with organizations like us. So they put out a call to artists. We had a an advisory committee of community members, some from right here in the Heights, that looked at those, picked three artists to be finalists. And then just this week, we looked at the final renderings and selected the final artist. And I was so afraid I would be disappointed. And instead, we were just all blown away. And the artists that we selected, and we don't know the names. We don't know where the people are from. It's all a blind process. So we're really just looking at the work. He wrote this artist statement about the journey of literacy. I mean, wait until you see it. And to know that people are going to drive into the Heights and be able to look, you know, up at that building and see this story. I mean, it really is a story that spans that whole building is going to be really neat. So that should be ready to go and be installed as part of the construction in the spring.
Yeah, we'll look forward to that. And I asked you about staff, but also talk about what makes the program go, the numerous volunteers.
And as soon as you said volunteers, I'm like, I totally forgot about them, which I cannot, because volunteers are how Reed Muskegon was founded. When I was hired in 2013, I was the very first executive director. Like, it was an all-volunteer run organization. We had a couple people working a few hours a week, but volunteers are the heart and soul of what we do. They continue to be. When somebody is struggling to read, the very best way to help them move forward is with one-on-one tutoring. And we just can't afford to do that with paid staff. And so I think people sometimes are intimidated, like, oh, I'd love to do that, but I don't know how to teach someone to read. Well, I didn't either when I started at Reed Muskegon. But the beauty of what we do is that we train and support volunteers. And we break everything down so that so that they do feel comfortable doing that. There are a lot of ways to volunteer too. Not everybody wants to be a one-on-one tutor, but you can go into one of our classes and work one-on-one mm-hmm. with a learner who might need some extra attention. Mm-hmm. We need tutors in our schools for yeah. students as we start to try to place mm-hmm. Volunteers in our K-12 schools. We have a middle school program that's going to be launching in probably in January once they come back to school. Where it's really more about changing their attitude about being readers. Mm, so it's mm-hmm. more about helping them find things they love to read yeah. rather than teaching sure. them to read. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we use volunteers in our 0 to 5 programs, just yeah. being an extra set of hands when you've got a room full of, you know, toddlers running around. Yeah. yeah. So all different kinds of ways, but our volunteers are amazing. And they, like I said, they are the heart and soul of what we do. It is really the very best way to help people.
Yeah. I know we had, I've been a couple of places where, you know, I think we had somebody from just come to our church, and I think mm-hmm. one of the groups that the foundation convenes. And one of the things it was interesting, I think we were just talking about like things like every organization puts out flyers or posts things on mm-hmm. Facebook. Mm-hmm. And I was somebody understand we're just talking about like little things like that you don't think about. There are people who struggle reading when you put these things out.
Yeah.
They put up something, I think, in a room with just like, here's some things maybe you think about doing different mm-hmm. to consider the audience. And I just thought, wow, it was really helpful.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. 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 And one of the things Reed Muskegon does is we have something called the Literacy Ally Training, which may have been what you saw. Yeah. So that was Shay from Reed Muskegon who did that. And so we've done that for all of the different departments of the city of Muskegon. Mm-hmm. We've done it for, I think, almost all of the early childhood mm-hmm. providers through the ISD.
Yes.
We've done it for banks. And what it does is it helps you identify when somebody might be a struggling reader that's trying to hide it mm-hmm. and figure out what to do in that moment so that you don't embarrass the other person, mm-hmm. that you come away with the information you need and they leave feeling successful.
Yeah.
But the other piece of what we do in there is exactly what you were talking about, which is think about the written information you're sending out mm-hmm. Or putting on your website. If somebody's a struggling reader, are they going to be able to access that? And there are a ton of tools online that can take something, tell you what grade level it was written mm-hmm. at, and help you not change that. That's what AI is great for now, right?
Yeah.
Change it down to a fourth grade reading level. If we mm-hmm. know half the country reads below a sixth grade level, you don't want to put out important information about, you know, the water system being flushed or something, or, mm-hmm. you know, important. I mean, think about COVID information that was going out and how hard that was to decipher.
Yeah.
And then think about those people who struggle to read. So one of the things we try to do is help people think more critically about that mm-hmm. And change the way that they put information out in the world.
Okay. So if folks are interested in wanting to volunteer or donations, mm-hmm. How could they get in contact with you?
Sure. So if you are interested in volunteering, you can call our office. Mm-hmm. It's 747-7273. Mm-hmm. You can stop by Monday through Wednesday. We are open 9 to 5. Thursdays and Fridays, we're open right now by appointment only. When we're in the new building, we'll be open mm-hmm. every day.
Okay.
And we will talk you through, you know, what you might be interested in, your availability, talk to you about opportunities that we have. We have a waiting list right now of people waiting mm-hmm. for tutors, so we can use that. If you're interested in donating, you can reach out to me directly if you would like. We did start work on the building, but we are still doing fundraising because we can build this beautiful building. But part of the campaign is to also build our endowment at the Community Foundation because mm-hmm. we need to be here 20 years from now because this issue is so big, it's not going to get fixed overnight.
Mm-hmm.
So that is our sustainability. So we will continue to raise mm-hmm. funds until we meet our full goal. And the second half of that goal is really about that sustainability.
Mm-hmm. I know part of your, you know, you have a lot of responsibility as a director. Do you ever get a chance to still tutor people or work with people? One-on-one.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't, you know, because my days are so unpredictable.
Yeah.
Somebody calls for a meeting or you know, whatever it happens to be, and I don't want to let a learner down, right? But I do get to see them when they come in the mm-hmm. office, to talk to them. We just did our 20th birthday party a couple Saturdays ago, and we got to hand out certificates of achievement to our learners. So I try to stay connected with them as much as possible because when you're in my job, you're not always doing the fun work. Sometimes you lose focus on why you're doing it. And I think when you get to talk to Benny, our 82-year-old learner, and he talks about how much his life has changed and how his family mm-hmm. respects him differently now. Like, mm-hmm. you're like, yeah, you know, I can do this financial stuff today because this is for Benny, not sure. for me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think you've been to Lansing testifying mm-hmm, in mm-hmm, legislature. Mm-hmm. Are any of our attitudes changing how we understand literacy?
Yes. Yeah. So this week I was at the governor held her first ever literacy summit, and mm-hmm. I was invited to attend. So I was very honored because it was mostly elected officials, ISD superintendents, mm-hmm. you know, bigger organizations. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of like, how did I get on this list? But yeah. I was super excited to be there. And there was a lot of, so she's really focusing her last year in office on trying to impact K-12 literacy, because right now Michigan is 44th in the country.
I saw that today.
And there's been a lot of press out about that summit. And one of the things that was really emphasized there that we have known at Reed Muskegon is that we need to go back and really focus on the science of reading, mm. which is all the things probably you and I were taught growing up. It's phonics, you know, sounding things out. There was a switch for a couple decades to approaching reading differently. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people think that's one of the reasons we are at where mm-hmm. we are today, but you can't just fix that overnight. Yeah. So when we've got these kids in homes where adults are struggling to read, we've mm-hmm. got to work at both of them at the same time. Yeah. But I do think there's a lot of attitude change. Some of the major business owners that were at this summit, yeah. they said, we are paying attention now because we see that this is a crisis. It's impacting us as employers, mm-hmm. and we need to be part of the solution. Mm-hmm. We've got great education, like higher ed, mm-hmm. institutions in Michigan, at mm-hmm. Michigan State, University of Michigan, GVSU, who are doing research and, yes. and helping. They're looking at teacher training and changing mm-hmm. the way teachers focus on learning to teach reading, because it was a very small piece of their teacher education before. Mm-hmm. So I do think there is kind of a sea change. People mm-hmm. are realizing, wow, we can't just assume this is going to fix itself. Mm-hmm. Adult literacy rates have been the same for 30 years.
Wow.
I mean, you can't look at that and say, well, we're just going to keep doing things the way yeah, we've been doing yeah, them, right? Yeah. So we need innovative thinkers. Mm-hmm. We need people who are willing to put their resources on the table to help mm-hmm. solve this. We've got a lot of those great people right here in mm-hmm. Muskegon County.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I love about the way we do our work at Reed Muskegon is that we help our learners increase their reading skills, but we also help them understand that power that they get when that happens mm-hmm. and how to use that power to be a part of shaping the community they want to live in, of shaping the education mm-hmm. system that their children deserve. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to see just people like you and me at the table. We need our participants, our ex-learners who are now beyond where they need our help, sitting at the table, helping us craft solutions based on their lived experience. Okay. That was going to be so much more impactful than what I can come
sure.
up with. So.
Sure. Most of the time flies. I always enjoy yeah. talking with you. I always learn some things when we talk. Folks, we're talking with Melissa Moore, director of Reed Muskegon, located 26 Broad, Muskegon Heights. We got about 30 seconds. I'm going to give you the last word, Melissa.
Yeah, I would just say there is something every single one of us can do to make mm-hmm. a difference, whether it is referring somebody to us because there's somebody in your life you know might need our help. Call us and we can help you have that conversation with them, or taking some time to volunteer with us. Like I said, we've got a waiting list. We will find a way to help. If you're interested in potentially contributing to our building project and our capital campaign, please reach out because it's really important.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to take a slight break and we will be back with our next guest. Good afternoon and welcome back to Community Focus. We had an unfortunate incident happen here in Muskegon a few weeks back, and it was a sad story. I had a young lady that passed in foster home, and we'll talk about that a little bit. We have Mr. David Jones here with us today, and you may have seen the young lady. Her name was Lamila.
Lamila.
She passed in a foster home. We have her grandfather, David Jones, here. We just want to talk a little bit about that incident, talk about what's taken place since then, and then there's a service taking place tomorrow you want to inform you about. So, David, it's your granddaughter.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about her as a person, first of all.
She was a very kind, sweet young lady.
Mm-hmm.
She loved to cook.
Mm-hmm.
She loved her biological family.
Okay.
She was always trying to reach out to us.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of touch bases on that a little bit. Unfortunately, her sister needs 24-hour care.
Okay.
So a lot of the community is asking the questions like, and I like to kind of clear this up.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't the granddaddy get the baby?
Sure.
The babies.
Uh-huh.
Well, her sister, Liana,
okay,
needs 24-hour care.
Okay.
And I'm still a full-time employee.
Sure.
So we did go down to the county building,
mm-hmm,
going through the, you know,
process.
The processes, uh-huh, of adopting.
Okay.
Me getting custody, but unfortunately, I couldn't meet all of those doctor appointments, mm-hmm, as demanded. She needed like 20 doctor's appointments, mm-hmm, within a month.
Okay.
It was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The courts was not willing to split them up.
I understand that. Yeah. And I get that.
And
yeah.
I understand that.
Sure.
But back to Lamila.
Mm-hmm.
She loved to cook.
Okay.
She loved to help. She loved her biological father,
mm-hmm,
my son Larvell.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, he was not able at that time is to take her in and, okay, take care of her and her sister.
Sure.
So we did meet the adoptive mother.
Okay.
She's been by the house, like I've told this story many, many times.
Okay.
We broke bread together.
Okay.
It's not like we were alienated from each other. Oh, we're not going to, no, none of that.
Yeah. So she was open to them seeing their birth family and their,
correct,
biological family.
She was open to that.
Okay.
A little reluctant at first with my son because for whatever reason,
sure,
she probably just didn't want Lamila, yeah, to get so attached to him and not be to her. That's, uh-huh, what I was taking it as.
Uh-huh.
But eventually she came around to bring him around.
Okay.
We go out, to, you know, like I said, to Fruitport. To old-fashioned days,
mm-hmm,
go to lunch at Mr. Quick.
Uh-huh.
She come by, sit in our living room at our table. We did things together.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
With the adoptive mother.
Yeah.
And for some reason or another, it just, you know, she stopped kind of coming around for a while.
Is that right?
Yes.
How long, over what period? How long did she have her total?
She had her for about 5-6 years. She's in the fifth.
Okay.
So she had them for some years.
Okay.
But like I said, we still stayed in contact.
I got you.
The day that I heard about the incident was on her birthday.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's the day. Well, no, excuse me. Was the next day after her birthday.
Okay.
Excuse me. My son and I was in the kitchen cooking, joking about guess whose birthday it is today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, believe it or not, her life was being taken at that time. So that hit home kind of hard.
Mm-hmm.
But back to what you asked me about her, she was just a sweet, kind, gentle young lady,
mm-hmm,
who loved to take up for other students who were being misused.
Mm-hmm.
So that rumor got out there a little bit about her being tough as if she was the bully.
Mm-hmm.
But she know she, yeah, took up for the people that was being bullied.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure that's clear about my, mm-hmm, granddaughter.
Yeah.
There's one young guy out there, don't know his name, at that school she went to.
Mm-hmm.
Said that, told his mother all he wants for Christmas is Milo.
Mm.
She's in the Fruitport School District.
Mm-hmm.
And that touched me a lot.
Okay.
And right now we're trying to get a hold of him,
mm-hmm,
and his family to, mm-hmm, see if we can have him at the memorial to read, okay, that letter.
Yeah. And so again, and we talked before, if some of this is difficult to talk about, we'll understand, mm-hmm, that. For people that don't know, what is the incident that caused Milo's death as you understand it at this point in time?
What I'm understanding, I got more information last,
mm-hmm,
week,
mm-hmm,
from a reliable source,
mm-hmm,
is that it started over a sucker.
Mm-hmm.
The adoptive mother didn't want her to have a sucker,
mm-hmm,
a candy sucker.
Mm-hmm.
On her birthday,
okay,
because it was going to raise her sugar level up or her hyper tension up or hyperactiveness up, excuse me.
So this whole incident happened on her birthday.
Yes, sir.
You know, I didn't realize that from reading the stories.
Yes.
Okay, so you go back. I'm sorry, go back. So this whole incident about her having a sucker some sugar on her birthday.
So she said they got into it about that. Mm-hmm. That's what the altercation started about.
Okay.
And from that point, what the adoptive mother is claiming is that she set on her to calm her down.
Mm-hmm.
And she became unresponsive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not totally sold on that right now because the autopsy report has not been released yet.
Yeah, it'll take a little while. So is the prosecutor's office communicating with the family?
The prosecutor's office has been doing a very good job.
Mm-hmm.
I have to give them credit.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say their names or not.
Sure, yes. Yeah. They I know they have people that work in those specific areas.
Okay.
So sure, you can.
Prosecutor DJ Hilson and mm-hmm. Prosecutor Matt Roberts
mm-hmm.
has been doing a tremendous job on communicating with us and making this as a smooth process as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll have to give them credit for that.
Yeah. Now, she has been charged
with manslaughter.
Manslaughter.
Yes.
And I know even for you to like have to understand what manslaughter is versus mm-hmm. first or second degree
yes.
murder. Because, you know, and some people in my family knew your granddaughter. And
okay.
we were talking about, you know, like why people understand it. Well, why was she charged with this?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they explained to you why she had to be charged with manslaughter.
They did. Prosecutor Matt Morris actually did explain that to me.
So you're satisfied with what they're charging her with?
Right.
I mean, it's probably not what you, I mean. I should say,
no.
You understand why they're charging
her. I understand.
Let me put it like
I understand the nature of the crime.
Sure.
Fits the charge.
Yeah.
At this time.
Mm-hmm.
Without yeah. that autopsy, something else could come up.
I see.
Yes.
Okay. So that's pending more information.
Pending more information.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So I know just a tragic loss for you and your family. So there's a service taking place tomorrow.
Service is taking place tomorrow at Christ Temple Apostolic Faith Church.
Mm-hmm.
Family hour starts at 11 and service starts at noon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll touch on this a little bit. Her remains will be there.
Okay.
Because she was cremated. Relatively fast.
Okay. Now you all had no control over that.
We had no control mm-hmm. To an extent.
Okay.
But we kind of moved. We didn't move fast enough.
I see.
Because if it wasn't for, and I have to put this out there, if it wasn't for the prosecutors, we wouldn't even have the remains there.
Is that right?
Yes.
Because again, she's in.
Yes.
And so you got the whole state's got to get involved, all these
yes.
things.
And then, so. Two, we have to look at the adoptive family
mm-hmm.
becomes the next of kin.
Yes. Yes.
When anything happens.
Yes.
And that's something for young ladies, young men is out there with children. Be careful signing away your rights
mm-hmm.
to your children.
Yeah.
Because it's very difficult to get them back. Yeah.
I think the difference between being able to see somebody and see them versus what legal rights you have
mm-hmm.
is making sure you understand the difference in the two.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whereas, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's been a learning process. So the service will be tomorrow at Christ Temple.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask you this because we can clear up the misinformation. So was there are there any fundraising efforts taking place? Because what happens nowadays, some happens and people will, without family's authorization, or they start fundraising things sometimes that may or may not be something the family's asked for. Or
well, I know there is a GoFundMe out there
mm-hmm.
For Myla. Excuse
okay.
me, for Leanna, her sister.
Her sister.
Yes, there
okay.
is one out there.
Okay. So now where is she currently?
She's in foster care. I mm-hmm. believe it's in Kent County, Kent City.
Okay.
With a adoptive family that specializes in taking care of special needs
children. I see. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Supposed to be a very good family.
Okay. So let me ask you this. How are you doing? How's your son doing? How's the rest of the family doing?
Well, it was, I was taken by it real bad at first.
Yeah. Uh-huh. What helps you deal? What helps you? I mean, we got Christmas coming up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your grandfather, Christmas, grandpas want to get the Christmas present. So what helps you deal with this?
Actually, talking about it
yeah.
helps me. The good uh-huh. Lord Jesus, number one.
All right.
Okay, my For Lord sure. and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The scripture that comes to my mind is Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Mm-hmm.
I read Psalms,
mm-hmm.
okay, 34:18.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, Lord is there for us. the ones that have the broken spirit.
Yes, yes.
And just my church family.
Okay.
You know, all the church family. Sure. Pastor Michael Burrell, mm-hmm. his church, it lifts me up.
All right.
Pastor Avery Burrell, yes. that Christ Simple family, mm-hmm. the community within itself.
Yeah.
Staying away from negative stuff on social media.
Yeah.
I just don't get into that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I listen to the positive things. I think about the bright side, mm-hmm. the good times we did share with her,
mm-hmm.
And just knowing that there are some people out here in this world that do care, and in this city,
mm-hmm.
This here itself mm-hmm. helps mm-hmm. Getting it out there. My thing now is when I think back, I think more and like, you know, your mind goes back and say, what could you have done to make this better?
Sure, sure.
And there's nothing I can do.
Mm-hmm.
But I can say this and voice my opinion to those out there. Listen, if you have loved ones and you can keep them, do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they go into these foster care, I'm not knocking foster care. I'm not knocking adoptive parents. Mm-hmm. Know where they're at. I have to say this, and this is bad on our part. I've never been out to her place.
I see.
She made sure that we didn't get to come to her place.
You think about it now. She'd come to your house, everything, but you never went to
her. She was in a trailer park. Nothing okay. against trailer parks.
So I know what you're saying.
I'm not knocking them.
But you just didn't know
the home
environment.
I didn't know the home environment.
Yeah.
I didn't know the home environment, but okay. she knew mine.
I see.
Yes.
Yeah. Just mm-hmm. like, and again, like you say, you run it through. You're human. You run through your mind. What could I have done different? What did
yes.
I know? How do you think this experience has changed you?
It has changed me drastically. It's been a big change.
Mm-hmm.
It's made me think more about life.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me think more about my loved ones, my other mm-hmm. grandchildren.
How many grandchildren do you have?
I knew that question was coming up.
You did count for each.
I have 4 in Texas.
Okay.
I have 5 in Detroit.
Okay.
I have, 1 in Flint.
Okay.
And then these 2.
Okay. If you yes. miss one, they're going to be mad.
They're going to be mad at it. Yes, yeah. I have grandchildren. Yes,
yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
But it makes me think more family oriented.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been a family-oriented man,
mm-hmm.
but it even makes me think even more.
Yeah,
I told my family that this is not going to—it's not going to derail us.
Sure. Yeah.
We're going to keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to pick up the pieces.
Okay.
We're going to pray. We're going to fast,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to ask for forgiveness.
Okay.
That's one thing I told my family. We're not going to go into this ignorantly.
Okay.
Yeah. We're not going to do that. We're not mm-hmm. that kind of family.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, I've told the media before, and I told everyone, I told my pastor, I said, I forgive her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do I believe in justice? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I believe justice must be served. But at this point in time, she is forgiven
mm-hmm.
because she has the courts to answer to,
mm-hmm.
and she also has a creator to answer to.
Sure, sure.
And I'm going to let him handle that part. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It sounds to me like, as I listen to you, Dave, you, like you say, you want to be, you know, take somebody. It's just like, you use the opportunity to teach your children and your grandchildren about your faith,
mm-hmm.
about what family means.
Yes,
yeah.
It's exactly so right. That's uh-huh. very true.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how much the service tomorrow, what I know you've planned it out, but mm-hmm. what will take place during the service tomorrow?
It will be, like I said, family hour will start at 11. Services will start at noon.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Bishop Avery Burrell will be officiating.
Mm-hmm.
And doing the eulogy for that memorial, mm-hmm. and again, I got to give him a shout out. He stepped up with his church members and
sure,
his family.
Sure, shout and out to Bishop Avery, a good friend of mine, and just a tremendous man of God.
Very tremendous man of God.
Yes.
I'm gonna tell you, in times like this, people step up. You know who care.
Yeah.
And I mean, it lifted a lot off of me.
Mm-hmm.
I got to give it to my brother-in-law, Vernell Smith.
Okay.
My sister, Josie Smith, her.
Oh, okay.
His wife.
Sure, sure.
And even, you know, I got to remember Jessica Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
That's the child's mother, her biological mother.
Okay.
I can remember times, and I know she loved that baby.
Yeah.
She was in Walmart at one time, and she saw the adoptive mother mm-hmm. with her child, Lamila.
Yes. Yeah.
And she just ran to her and said, can I just see my baby?
Mm-hmm.
you know, most mothers that didn't care wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
And that resonates in my, you know, spirit and my mind a lot mm-hmm. of times. I just see her running through Walmart yeah. trying to get in touch uh-huh. with her child.
Okay.
And even after this incident, she wanted to see her when she was deceased.
Sure.
We didn't get that opportunity
oh, man.
Because she was yeah. actually cremated in that same week. It was a quick cremation.
Mm.
And at one point, the family was like, okay, you all can have a funeral, a traditional. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, no response.
So it made it difficult to do an autopsy.
Yes. And then right after the autopsy, the body was cremated.
Mm. Well, so they did get a chance to do an autopsy before. But
yes.
Shortly after that, she's cremated.
Right after that.
So with no chance to?
No.
To afford viewing anything?
No, like no chance for viewing.
Okay.
So that kind of hit home.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the funeral home that was handling the cremation were not. They were not very sympathetic.
Yes, sir.
They were more business than family.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear the word funeral home, you think of family. That's
okay.
what it means, home, family.
Mm-hmm.
But for that place, which is a franchise,
mm-hmm.
they're more business, especially when it came to this situation with us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I can say this whole thing just sort of rocked our community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our church, like many, prayed for the family and just some of my nieces and uh-huh. nephews knew the young lady, know some of the family.
Uh-huh.
And just, I didn't know you were the grandfather today, but we were in school together.
Yes, we did.
So it's just rocked the whole community. And I can tell you, I can appreciate sitting here with you today, having a chance. You know, when I sit through the week and I kind of, you know, I was like, who am I interviewing? And I didn't recognize the name. And I was like, you know, this is going to be a tough interview. Like, how do you talk about this?
Uh-huh.
So I appreciate you coming in and talking about it. But
appreciate you having
as we talk, you know, one, clean up some misinformation.
Uh-huh.
I know it's got to be hard when you know, social media, when people start, why wasn't it this? And why, you know,
yes.
things that people don't know. And
uh-huh.
like you say, you invest the time because you want, you know, it's like, I'll take them.
Uh-huh.
But realizing, you know, that one, and then we understand why people want to keep siblings together.
Uh-huh.
But then, you know, you're working full time and the care that her sister needs, which
yes.
I wasn't aware of, and you don't hear people say because people don't care about details.
No.
So I appreciate you making that clear.
Thank you.
Yeah. And for, you know, sometimes, you know, we don't want to go on social media and defend ourselves sometimes, but I'm glad we're able to use a show like this to get the correct information out.
I appreciate
that. To care to know the facts.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. So Christmas is coming around, you know,
uh-huh.
a week from, we'll be after Christmas next week at this time, but what are holidays going to be like for you?
It's going to be okay. My sister Josie reached out, mm-hmm. said she wants to have Christmas dinner on Maffitt.
Okay.
House, where
yeah.
we live.
Old family house.
Yes. Old,
okay,
family,
so,
old family house.
Okay.
Right.
Yes, I mean, but yeah. So when you're from a ski high school, you say yeah. certain things. Okay. So the big house on Maffitt.
That's
yeah.
exactly right. It'll be you know, without Lamila, it'll be different. But we're going to make it through.
Okay.
We're going to make it through.
Uh-huh.
That's the plans for
okay, yeah,
for the holiday.
Okay, just hug everybody a little bit tighter and
hug everybody a little tighter.
Yeah.
Like I said, my family they're pretty strong.
Good,
And that comes from faith. Listen,
sure.
I just got to keep putting that out there.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It comes from the good Lord above.
Mm-hmm.
Without him, I don't know where I would be.
Okay.
I just don't know where I'd be.
Okay.
I mean, I can. Back in the days when I was a teenager, it would be a different story.
Yo, I know.
You know? So
well,
I don't want to go there.
But I was going to say, train up a child when you go when they're old and they don't depart. You get something down in your roots.
That's right.
And so if the Lord spares us long enough,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I wasn't always this guy. I tell you what, you see a different version.
Yes.
But the Lord spares us long enough, you
mm-hmm.
know, we get a chance to come to our senses.
You know,
like the prodigal son returned home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like.
Return
so,
home. So,
yes, yes.
Well, Christmas is going to be fine. It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Like I said, we have dinner and just enjoy and take it a day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a healing process.
Sure, sure.
To lose a loved one, especially a direct loved one, like a child or grandchild,
mm-hmm.
I see what it feels like now. A lot of times, you know, I read the media and someone lost a child,
mm-hmm.
but whatever means, however they died, and I'm like, man. But you don't know until you it actually happens.
Sure.
It just doesn't happen. Like I said, all kind of thoughts go through your mind about woulda, coulda. I wish I had done this. Could I have done that better? But at the end of the day, normally you're done with all you could have. Mm-hmm. You know, we weren't expecting this to happen. When we let her go to that family, we actually thought one day we'd be able to get her back.
Uh-huh.
When she gets a little older, she's going to want to see her.
Sure.
And that started happening.
Yeah.
I know it did.
Yeah.
And I said, we'll just work that way, Larvell. And we'll just, that's my son, Larvell. I said, we'll just work back until we get her back into our custody.
Mm-hmm.
We do have her coming by now with the adoptive mother.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like I said, I would say her name. Sherry was, I mean, I was taken back by this when this happened.
Mm-hmm.
I told her before, I felt betrayed. I do. Mm-hmm. I really do by that, mm-hmm. by that family. I just feel like I've been betrayed.
Mm-hmm.
Not only even by her, but even by the adoptive system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the down there, we put our trust in you all to put her in a family that she'd be taken care of until she become a grown lady,
mm-hmm.
and get out, move on her own, marry, and do what she wanted to do. Well, that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
She was only hours of being 11. She died on her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Not the next day, but think about that. Mm-hmm. Only 11 years old for a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
And that hits home a lot with me, too.
Sure.
So I think about that.
Yeah. You know, I think you say, you know, being, but, you know, again, this is somebody you said came in your home. And so it's not what you expected.
Not what you expected.
And, you know, again, people say, like, well, you had to know something to see something, you know.
No, you kind of always got those thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
I hope she's been treated right in this. That always comes.
Yeah.
You know, especially because we know that blood is thicker than the mud.
Mm-hmm.
No matter, I don't care how you adopt a child out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone else takes them. Mm-hmm. You got adoption, then you got foster care.
Mm-hmm.
My advice to anyone out there, before you sign out for your rights to have your child adopted, mm-hmm. keep them in foster care. Mm-hmm. You have a better chance of getting them back.
Yeah. When was the last time you had seen her?
It's been a while. It's been some months.
Okay.
It's been some months. Mm-hmm. The last time I saw her.
Okay. I know you said the things were kind of changed.
She changed. Yes.
Over the last couple of months.
And then this one we called out Sunday,
mm-hmm.
getting ready to call her, my son and I,
mm-hmm.
on her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day I thought about it, but with the next day when I thought about it, I was getting a message that she was dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now her sister, you said she's in Kent County, getting a special type of home.
Yes.
Do you get a chance to sit here or check on her?
Oh, well, my sister and I are working on trying to get custody of her now.
Okay. But again, for people maybe didn't hear the first part, again, she's her sister, it's 24-hour medical care.
Yes.
You still work. And so she's on a feeding tube. So,
yes.
So she needs to be in a special kind of place. Or if you get her, you got to be prepared.
I have to be
for that kind of care.
I have to
which is a lot.
24, that's a lot.
Yes.
That's a lot. Yeah. Doable.
Yes.
But it's a lot.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so you have to kind of prepare for that.
I have to prepare for that.
Yeah.
Yes, I would.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
David, I appreciate you coming. Anything else that we didn't talk about in Ash you want to make sure you get let people know out there?
Pretty much covered it all. Again, stay as close to your loved ones as possible. I do want to give a shout out to Carter Funeral Home.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a great help in this situation as well. I don't want to leave him out. I'm trying to think about all these people that's been supportive, and he's been very, very supportive.
Okay.
Eric from Carter Funeral Home.
Say your granddaughter's full name.
Lamila Jones.
Lamila Jones.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say her name. Folks, remember the family in your prayers and your thoughts this weekend. David, again, thanks for coming in. I know you said you're a little nervous, but I'll tell you, you've done an excellent job representing your family and yourself and what you all have done and sharing some very difficult times. So I appreciate you coming in to spend some time with us today.
And I appreciate you having me.
All right. I'm going to make a few closing thoughts, folks. Again, for those that my brother Gregory T. said, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you, brother Gregory T. And brother, get well. Let's get back to doing this in 2026. Folks, whether, you know, my faith, I celebrate Christmas, me and my family. Whether you celebrate Christmas or not, this is a time of year. We talk about family. We talk about loved ones. My brother Gregory T. says this is a good time to go out and be a blessing to other people. If you don't figure out something between now and next week, a way to make somebody smile or bless somebody's life, Start now. Set some goals for 2026. Your life is meant to be shared with other people, good or bad. We're meant to live together. We're meant to live in family. We're meant to live in community with one another. Let's be intentional about our life and how we live it and share it with other people. All right. To the folks here at 103.7 The Beat. Hey, Vern, my brother, I didn't realize this was your brother-in-law. I love you, man. You have a Merry Christmas. To the folks here at 103.7 The Beat, to PA, Big Rob, Meehan, Lady J, you guys, you all are the best. I appreciate this opportunity you all give us to share with the community. We appreciate it so much. My brother, Michael Anthony, good to see you listening like you always do. Appreciate you. Y'all have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.